So, the new hatchling was around. They needed time to grow, it said in the book. Odd that it should lay an egg here, because it said in the book that it always hatched in the burning deserts of Klatch. He went and looked at the birds in the mews. They were still very alert. Yes, it all made sense. It had flown in here, among the comfort of other birds, and laid its egg, just like it said it did in the book, and then it had burned itself up to hatch the new bird. If Hodgesarg had a fault, it lay in his rather utilitarian view of the bird world. There were birds that you hunted, and there were birds that you hunted with. Oh, there were other sorts, tweeting away in the bushes, but they didn't really count. It occurred to him that if ever there was a bird you could hunt with, it'd be the phoenix. Oh, yes, it'd be weak and young, and it wouldn't have gone far. Birds tended to think the same way, after all. It would have helped if there was one picture in the book. In fact, there were several, all carefully drawn by ancient falconers who claimed it was a firebird they'd seen. Apart from the fact that they all had wings and a beak, no two were remotely alike. One looked very much like a heron, another looked like a goose. One, and he scratched his head about this, appeared to be a sparrow. Bit of a puzzle, he decided, and left it at that, and selected a drawing that looked at least slightly foreign. He glanced at the bird gloves hanging on their hooks. He was good at rearing young birds. He could get them eating out of his hand. Later on, of course, they just ate his hand. Yes, catch it young and train it to the wrist. It'd have to be a champion hunting bird. Hodgesarg couldn't imagine a phoenix as quarry. For one thing, how could you cook it? And in the darkest corner of the mews, something hopped onto a perch. Once again, Agnes had to run to keep up as Nanny Og strode into the courtyard, elbows pumping furiously. The old lady marched up to a group of men standing around one of the barrels and grabbed two of them, spilling their drinks. Had it not been Nanny Og, this would have been a challenge equal to throwing down a glove, or in slightly less exalted circles, smashing a bottle on the edge of a bar. But the men looked sheepish, and one or two of the others in the circle even scuffled their feet and made an attempt to hide their pints behind their backs.
"Jason! Darren! You come along with me!"
Nanny commanded.
"We're after vampires, right? Any sharp stakes around here?"
No, Mum," said Jason, Lunkra's only blacksmith. Then he raised his hand. "But 10 minutes ago, the cook came out and said, did anyone want all these nibbly things that someone had mucked up with garlic, and I ate 'em, Mum."
Nanny sniffed and then took a step back, fanning her hand in front of her face.
"Yeah, that should do it all right," she said. "If I give you the signal, you're to burp hugely. Understand?"
"I don't think it'll work, Nanny," said Agnes as boldly as she dared.
"I don't see why. It's nearly knocking me down."
"I told you, you won't get close enough, even if it'll work at all. Perdita could feel it. It's like being drunk."
"I'll be ready for them this time," said Nanny. "I've learned a thing or two from Esme."
"Yes, but she's..."
Agnes was going to say, "better at them than you," but changed it to, "not here."
"That's as may be, but I'd rather face them now than explain to Esme that I didn't. Come on."
Agnes followed the Ogs, but very uneasily. She wasn't sure how far she trusted Perdita. A few guests had departed, but the castle had lain on a pretty good feast, and Ramtop people at any social level were never ones to pass up a laden table. Nanny glanced at the crowd and grabbed Sean, who was passing with a tray.
"Where's the vampires?"
"What, Mum?"
"That Count Magpie."
"Magpier," said Agnes.
"Him," said Nanny.
He's gone up to, the solar, Mum. They all have. What's that smell of garlic, Mum?"
"It's your brother. All right, let's keep going."
The solar was right at the top of the keep. It was old, cold and drafty. Verence had put glass in the huge windows, at his queen's insistence, which just meant that now the huge room attracted the more cunning, insidious kind of draught. But it was the royal room, not as public as the great hall, but the place where the king received visitors when he was being formally informal. The Nanny Og expeditionary force corkscrewed up the spiral staircase. She advanced across the good yet threadbare carpet to the group seated around the fire. She took a deep breath.
"Ah, Mrs. Og," said Verence desperately. "Do join us."
Agnes looked sideways at Nanny and saw her face contort into a strange smile. The Count was sitting in the big chair by the fire, with Vlad standing behind him. They both looked very handsome, she thought. Compared to them, Verence, in his clothes that never seemed to fit right and permanently harassed expression, looked out of place.
The Count was just explaining how...